Hello, Mzansi. You are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzansi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by WANEFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I am your host, Patricia Tembo. Welcome to episode 480. Today, we're discussing the halal meat market. This episode is set to be informative and practical as we welcome Muhammad Gur, owner of the Meat Cart, who will be discussing the halal certification requirements, meat processing standards, and ensuring traceability in the meat value chain.
Welcome, Muhammad Gur, to Farmers Inside Track.
Thank you, Patricia, for having me. I'm looking forward to sharing some of my insights with you.
We're going to provide information to farmers listening who are looking to break into the halal market and produce for abattoirs and butchers that produce halal meat. So what is considered halal meat, Mohammed?
So from my understanding, halal meat is like the animals that we're allowed to consume firstly. So like pork is excluded from being halal, as it is like within the Jewish framework, and some Christians as well believe in that. So we mainly, from the halal side, is the main lines that we do is chicken, beef, and lamb. But obviously, you can do turkey, duck as well. But like those are not as prominent in the halal market, like beef, chicken, and lamb. When you're making something halal, it's all about the slaughter process. So the animal must be slaughtered for human consumption, and it must be slaughtered in the name of God. If you're slaughtering it for the benefit of somebody else, that will make it not halal. So the slaughtering and the intention of slaughter is the most important thing, as well as how the animal has been kept in humane conditions, has been treated properly during its growth, before slaughter, things like that.
Which authorities certify or grant halal certification? How does that process work?
So there's quite a few halal bodies in South Africa.
There's three of them in Johannesburg. The main two here are NAH, the National Independent Halal Trust, and the second one is SANHA, the South African National Halal Association. Point to note here in Johannesburg, SANHA is quite strong. So you'll see a lot of restaurants prefer holding the SANHA certification and not the NIHD, just because the population here seems to support SANHA. The third one is called MJC. They're quite big, but they're not as popular in the Gauteng. So they are a lot more popular in the Western Cape. But I think if you use the three of them that I've given, NIHD, SANHA, MJC, you should be fairly covered.
So those are the three biggest. There are smaller ones, obviously, that do the sort of certification. But when it comes to, like, you know, when you're supplying restaurants and if you're supplying canteens, the bigger businesses, they generally rely on those three. To get halal certified, you have to get all of those halal bodies. They come out, review what meat you're selling. Like, for example, we are meat wholesaler, so we're not doing the slaughtering. The slaughtering gets done by the abattoirs. So we use abattoirs like Karen Beef, Sparta. Chicken side, we're using Sangiro, Eagle Valley. Lamb, we use Cavalier, KLK. So majority of the abattoirs in South Africa are halal certified just because the abattoirs don't exclude markets for export specifically, like into Saudi Arabia, the United Emirates, Egypt, Indonesia. All of those countries require halal. So I would say you're close to like 90% of abattoirs in the country are halal, beef, lamb, or chicken. So if you want to get certified, if you're an abattoir, look, I don't know what the processes are if you're an abattoir, but the best place to start is you decide which halal authority you want to be dealing with. I find that NIHT is the biggest. They're fairly helpful when it comes to getting certified. If you're a Muslim individual, it's a lot easier to get certified because a lot of the responsibility then relies with you as the owner to make sure that the processes are in place. If you're a non-Muslim that wants to get halal certified, the halal associations will make you put a Muslim in place to oversee that process. It's a bit more onerous to get halal certified as a non-Muslim, but in the same breath, there's no Muslim-owned abattoirs in the country. So they're all non-Muslim. The guys who are actually slaughtering are generally Muslim as well, or a supervisor is Muslim. So you have to take that into consideration.
For the meat cart, you know, when you look at the agricultural value chain, the meat cart, you know, plays the role of, you know, being a processor of meat, if I'm not mistaken. With that certification, how often do you need to get it renewed?
Once a month, they come and do surprise visits. They don't tell you when they're coming past. That's just the way they do their audits. They'll come and inspect what's sitting in your cold rooms, what's sitting in your freezers. They also look at your invoices to see that you're not buying anything that's not certified at all. Because even your inputs, like if you're processing sausages, that means from your sausage casing to your spices needs to be halal certified as well. Like if you're buying spices from Crown National or Freddie Hirst, those are the big guys, their spices are generally halal certified as well. So from a processing point of view, you need to make sure all your inputs are also halal, in addition to your meat being halal. Once a year, they'll renew your certification. And like we pay annually once a year for our subscription as well.
And you mentioned that you source the meat from abattoirs like Haran Beefs. How do you ensure the quality of the meat and that they have complied with the halal slaughtering process?
The abattoirs we purchase from, we make sure that they are halal certified. We keep copies of their halal certification in our files so that we know that they are halal certified. You know, and then all halal certificates come with the expiry date. So each year we'll replace the certificates we keep on file from all our suppliers. So if we ever get audited and they're like, this supplier, easy halal, and we can obviously prove it quite easily. And from a quality point of view, look, all the abattoirs we deal with are export certified. So the quality from our point of view, it's no question, you know. We don't deal with any small abattoirs. There aren't many small abattoirs, but we try to deal with the bigger guys just for consistency on quality and products. Because they got the controls in place to ensure all of that is up to scratch. Because when you're exporting, it's quite a onerous or quite a lengthy process to get certified and to maintain that certification. So I think using export certified abattoirs also makes it easier from our side. At the same time, we wouldn't be averse to using smaller abattoir as long as they can guarantee the consistency of the quality of the meat and the halal.
Looking at traceability, you know, as a processor, we've had in the past few years ago with Tiger Brands and, you know, the whole listeriosis situation. Yeah. I mean, we see the importance of traceability regarding products. So with the meat card, for example, how do you trace back to the farmer and the farmer's practice and say you do incur some sort of issue and it's not at the abattoir, but at the farm? Because I am aware that halal meat is also animals that don't eat animal byproducts, for example. Maybe you can speak a little bit about that if you have any direct relationship with the farmers themselves.
So when it comes to traceability, we don't trace back to a farmer. We'll only trace back to an abattoir. Because we purchase from the abattoir, the stock comes in on batch numbers. So we know exactly what products we're getting. When the deliveries come, we'll have a list of each box that is being delivered to us for traceability. So we never trace back to a farmer. It will always be traced back to an abattoir based on the product that we used of theirs. So traceability to the farmer, I'm assuming that traceability would move from the abattoir back to the farmer because they can trace like ear tag numbers on the cow to the actual carcass that has come out of slaughter that is hanging in the chiller. So we never trace back to a farmer. We always trace back to an abattoir. And to date, we haven't had any issues where we needed to do any traceability. So touch wood, it remains like that. And look, when we talk about the Tiger Brands incident, the listeriosis there, it boils down to pork product. And being there halal and we don't deal with pork, I think we also shielded a bit better because like pork products are generally more riskier than beef and lamb. Chicken, I think, is also as risky, but batch numbers on boxes that we get in, it's quite easy to trace back. We'll tell our clients if they're buying, a restaurant is buying, to say 5 boxes of chicken fillet. If they have any issue, we always have to say, can you send us a picture of the batch on the box? Because that's how the traceability is set up, you know? I think you touched on feed and what animals can consume. Look, that I'm not very clued up on. That's why I would suggest if you want to take this a bit further, is maybe to check to one of the halal authorities, maybe NIHT. They can give a lot more guidance on how they actually go about certifying a place. I'm on the opposite side, right? I get certified. I'm not the one issuing the certification. So for the nitty-gritty, that I would suggest that continue on to the same halal podcast is to speak with one of those representatives.
Thank you so much to Muhammad Gur, founder of The Meat Cart. For more information on this topic, please visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. For me, Patricia Atembo, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag team Food Forum Zanzi, thank you for listening.